Hello and welcome to episode 150 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is June 24th, 2019. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2, and we are both from McFlugel.com. Show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/150, where you'll be able to find links for things we talk about, as well as checking out things from our guest, who we will introduce in a minute. And also you can check out libertymugs.com, where you can buy an awesome libertarian themed mug. So we are kind of post-recording this intro. Slappy, do you want to talk about what happened? I kind of mentioned it in the interview, but
yeah. So
actually, do we want to say who we have on the show this week?
We could just surprise them.
Ah, well, they're gonna probably see the title. So
I guess okay. So anyway, we had Steve Miller on, comedian, libertarian in the area, also a podcast host. We had some technical difficulties, so I think this is the first time, maybe, that we're doing the intro after the interview. Did we do this before?
No, we've done it before.
No. Well, forget that I said that. Anyway, guys, he's a great guest to have on. He's very funny, very out of control at times.
In a good way.
In a good way, yeah, in the best way. I heard him. Anyway, we had technical difficulties through this whole thing where I could hear everybody, but not everybody could hear me. So in the recording, you may hear me throw a line out there just testing to see if anyone could hear me, so it won't make sense. But that's it. So I guess we'll just play the interview and
yeah.
Apologize for that. But you'll enjoy the interview. It was pretty good. I did listen, and I kept logging in and out, trying to see if anyone could hear me. And eventually, I just gave up and listened. So yeah, have fun.
Yep. And so here is our show with Steve Miller. Steve Miller, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. So we've been having some technical difficulties getting this going. Slappy Jones 2 is here, but he's not here. We can't get his audio to work quite well. So he's going to be restarting his computer off and on again until maybe he's able to jump in. If not, it's just going to be Steve and Rollo hanging out. So
he'll be with us in our hearts.
Yes, yes. And in the intro and the outro, we probably will have already explained this. So let's get into it. Steve, I wanted to get your, I think you have an interesting perspective on a lot of things, and one that
That's
is
one
usually
thing I've been accused of, yes.
Yes. So before we get into this, I just want to ask you a question. What city has the best libertarians?
Whichever one has none. That's the first answer that comes to mind. The second answer that comes to mind is not Keene, New Hampshire.
Okay. Yeah. That was not the answer I was going for, but it actually is probably the correct answer. I was trying to shill where our roots were from.
Wasn't there some horror movie where everybody was deaf mute? Like, I think I could handle the libertarians in a city where nobody could talk. That'd be tolerable.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, libertarians are the worst.
Because you have to understand, I come from there's two communities that I have to deal with that are just chock full of obnoxious people, and that's the gays and the libertarians. And both of them never know when to stop. They have these feedback loops that amplify their most obnoxious behaviors. And yeah, that's just life. And some days you just got to strap on a bolo and deal with them.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. You are the only person that I know that ever wore a bolo outside. No, I was going to say man, but I'm like, I don't think women wear bolos. So let's.
Oh, they do.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of newbie bolo customers can get hoodwinked into buying a lady's bolo tie. They're surprisingly common. They've got a lot of flower prints. It's usually in some like sort of oval with like studding around the outside. And then most obnoxiously, the strings are always way too short. So on a good, like solid men's bolo, you want the tips of the bolo tie, like you see here,
mm-hmm.
to come down to about where the pockets end. So you can roughly see, like, right around there. Women's bolo ties are always way too short. They'll stop, like, right at, you know, about titty length, maybe, like, something like that. Because they don't want to, like, cut off the cleavage so much. But, yeah.
I don't know if they just had smaller necks.
Yeah, women's bolo ties are a plague.
So have but you anyway. Ever have you ever accidentally bought a women's bolo tie?
Oh, it's part of a lot, definitely. So I've knowingly bought women's bolo ties because it was part of, you know, eight that were for sale all together on eBay. And take one, you give that to the thrifting gods and you hope that they repay it in a men's bolo tie somewhere down the line.
So I want to talk about your bolo tie because I didn't recognize it until you said something, but you have a kind of special one on, and I think it's one that would be especially triggering to many libertarians.
This is indeed a Masonic bolo tie from the Masonic Lodge of Nevada. And I was wearing this out one day walking around. I think I was at either Home Depot or Lowe's or some similar environment. And some guy says, "Nice bolo tie." And he reaches out his hand like this. I'm like, "Yo, before I shake your hand, I need you to know I'm not an actual Freemason. If you're going to do like the little or whatever it is, I'm not going to lose. Okay, thank you. Well, I'll still shake your hand." And I shook his hand and we awkwardly went about our purchase of hardware or whatever the hell I was buying.
Nice. So are you... So you this doesn't
specify. And the other thing is, if you wear a bolo tie, old people will always be unfailingly nice to you.
Huh.
Old people love a polite young man in a bolo tie, and Mexicans love a person in a bolo tie.
I could see that.
Because kind of, sort of maybe reminds it of home a little bit. I don't know what it is, but you always get nicer treatment from Mexicans when you're in a bolo tie versus not in a bolo tie.
So there's a is there like a pretty strong community among bolo tie wearers, like, you know, people who drive Jeeps around always, you know, beep and wave at each other and have their like little Jeep outings. Do you guys have this esoteric niche?
Yeah, I'll always comment whenever I see somebody in a bolo tie.
How often does that even happen?
It depends. It depends if you go to places where there's a lot of old people. Old people love wearing bolo ties. Like, if you're in a place with oldsters, church, whatever it is, then you're more like, and where they're dressed up, that's the other thing, is like, it's if it's old people who, like, are dressed up for some sort of occasion, then you're way more likely to see it than not. But there's one guy who shops at the same grocery store as me that he's got to be at least 70. And I've definitely caught him with a couple just straight bangers. And, yeah.
Nice. Well, it's something different, and I'm sure it's a very good conversation piece.
It's been my thing for over a decade now.
Because I remember back in the day of our when I was gallivanting with the Philly Libertarians, and you were around. That's when I first. I don't know if it was it was not 10 years ago, but I remember the bolo ties from those days.
At that point, like, my musical about Adam Kokesh is now 6 years old.
All right. So let's talk about that.
All right, sure.
Your musical about Adam Kokesh, because
he
is a hot topic.
Zero regrets.
Good, yeah. So what inspired it? What's it?
I was doing a podcast with N.A. Poe at the time called The Panic Hour. It was a conspiracy show. It was a pissant little show. It was on Laughcast.com. Not too many people watched it. We got maybe a couple hundred views, etc. And Poe decided that the most surefire way to get your podcast to blow up, to become Joe Rogan, was to start doing weed activism. That really the missing piece between the Panic Hour and podcast fame was a couple of weed protests. And he invites Adam Kokesh down for these. And Poe, God bless him, is one of these people where if you just say something with enough certainty, he'll believe it. And if there's... Kokesh might be bad at a lot of things, but speaking like he knows what he's talking about in a way that convinces dumb people that he's a genius is something that he's great at. And it's been his calling card for his entire time in public life, if you even want to call what he does public life. And lo and behold, as I told them both would happen, they both go and get arrested. They spend a week in federal detention. And then I wrote a musical, which was all parody songs. I mean, it's not as if I'm Andrew, like, I might be gay, but I'm not Andrew Lloyd Webber. And I crank out all these song parodies as part of the Fringe Fest. We put it in. The reviewer from the Philly Gay News was horrified. That was the other thing, because I refer to myself as a gutter faggot in the musical, which is something I still have no problem identifying myself as. And there were just all these like inside libertarian jokes that reviewers from the Philadelphia Gay News were not getting. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's like kind of a worlds collide kind of thing. You mentioned it earlier, like the two, I guess you're saying the worst groups of people in the world, the gay community and the libertarian community. Yeah, I don't know how well those jokes would fly in each other's companies.
Or just jokes in general, if you go to the more hardcore members of either one, like they're really just not humor folk.
Oh, no. Yeah, how many times you're on Twitter and you try to make a joke, it's actually... Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Make a podcast. Shit.
Oh, yeah. So that the Kokesh musical actually reminded me of something else that you were big on back a little bit, and I want to hear you talk about, because I think it is something that should be brought up again. And
are you about to ask me about the Connecticut Sun? Because the last podcast I was on was about the WNBA.
That was on the
list. I have a lot of trouble switching gears right here. I'm like, when's he going to ask me about Jonquel Jones?
What's Brittany Griner up to? No, that was WNBA was on the list, but it is not something that I want to like
so
bring up or out.
I don't know if Steve can hear
the
me.
Only reason I can do this is because it's a Monday night and they don't play on Monday night. Oh.
So Slappy's here. He wants to say something.
I just let him know I once took an elbow to the chest from Diana Taurasi.
Okay. Slappy just said that he wants you to know that he once took an elbow to the chest from Diana Taurasi.
That's legit. That's hardcore.
That's Slappy's one claim to fame.
Yeah. That and looking like a straight me. after a certain age, there's only so many looks for a white guy. Short hair, long hair, glasses, no glasses. And
I got it.
He's got the short hair and glasses thing just like I do. And yeah.
Just we'll have to get him in a bolo tie, see how he looks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean I was gonna ask you about some other eclectic enjoyments that you like to go on the website known as Twitter to talk about. One of them is the NBA. So like, and I've noticed that a lot of times there's like people do things ironically. One of the things that people think I'm being sarcastic or joking around about is my undying love for fruitcake and tractors, but yeah. I'm like dead serious about it. And I do suspect that your love for the WNBA is absolutely real.
It started off like my love for ICP, where I was like, this will be like a little whim. Why don't I check it out? And then one $17 league pass later, I was absolutely addicted.
Wait, is that what the WNBA
league? It's $17 for the entire season. And if anybody is like on the fence about it and thinks they might want league pass, DM me on Twitter, bless your grind. And I'll just give you my login, because if there's one organization that's not going to ban you for getting them two more fans, it's the W. And yeah, you could use my League Pass login for a little bit. If you want to check it out, take it for a little spin, see what your geographic restrictions are, etc. But no. It started off like I got League Pass. I was like, oh, this is kind of enjoyable to watch. But once you start betting on the WNBA, there's absolutely no turning back. And now, like, I'm pretty much counting down the hours until 10 a.m.-ish tomorrow when I can get lines for the Fever Lynx game that happens tomorrow night, because there was a big travel situation. Because the other thing is, I follow a lot of these players on the old social medias, and they write about just how shitty their travel situations are. So the Indiana Fever have just come from the West Coast, and they had to take multiple planes, and they wound up having to take a bus from Atlanta back to Indiana. So their day off was basically wasted. So they're basically on a back-to-back tomorrow night.
So they're traveling like the East Coast Hockey League teams travel?
Right. So I'd expect the pace to be a little slower than normal. So I'm going to be looking to bet the under if I can get it at the right number. And then I'll be looking. And then depending on how many points they get, I'll be looking to bet on the Lynx.
Nice.
The other thing is, these teams all have names that sound like they're like a team in a video game that's like made up, like the Phoenix Mercury, the Connecticut Sun, the Indiana Fever. These don't sound like actual teams. These sound like shit that someone made up.
So I want your perspective on it, because, you know, it's rare that you have a libertarian WNBA fan, let alone a WNBA fan or a libertarian. So
they all have this haircut, though, all the WWE fans. It's just usually on a much fatter, older lesbian.
That is true. And I think it was like a year ago, there was a big story about Elena Del Don, about she wasn't getting paid enough. And I actually wrote an article about it, being the libertarian nerd I am. I did like an economic analysis on it. And it actually is, it's unfortunate for the NBA, because when you type Elena Del Don salary, McFlugel.com is now the number one
really
search result for it, or number one or number two. So, you know, it's something that's more popular than other things on the website. So, what's your libertarian?
She's the absolute worst person to make the case that they should get more money, because she comes from a really rich family.
Oh, really?
I live in Delaware, and half the buildings in the state, I have a Della Don and Associates thing on them. And her promo commercial for the WNBA is of her like at her family's equestrian farm, like riding their horses. And yeah, like there's a lot of players that really need the money and like have to go grind it out in Russia in the off season playing for some like perv billionaire. She ain't one of them. Like, you don't ever see Elena Deladon playing for Dynamo Kursk or anything like that. But yeah, she's the queen of Delaware. So what are you going to do?
Okay. And I heard she does do a lot of philanthropic or what they call you. So, but what do you think about that?
Gay royalty? There aren't a ton of gay people in Delaware. So like there's basically two gay couples that are Delaware gay royalty, and that's Elena and her wife and me and Raul.
Yeah. And then throw in Joe Biden.
Oh, no. That lesbian trucker that ran for Senate. There was this.
Oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah. We had this one like Bernie kind of ish woman who was this black lesbian who looked like a trucker, and she ran for, I forget her name. And, She wound up getting like a decent amount of the vote. Of course, what's that in Delaware? Like, you go convince one AA meeting that like you got some good plans, and like with those 14 votes, you go and you sweep the state.
Yeah, was she from up north, or was she slower lower?
No, she's from Wilmington. Yeah, so I can imagine that probably helped, like knowing more than 30 people herself.
Yeah, that's the Wilmington's the real power center.
There's Amish in Delaware. Did you know this?
There's Amish.
There's Amish in Delaware and downstate, yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Not a ton of them, but yeah, there's Amish here.
Because I actually live very close to Delaware. I actually had my monthly, well, it's been a while, since a couple months if I had it, but I have the Liberty on the Rocks in Hocassin. Some of the hoity-toityest of toity places in the state. But
imagine being hoity-toity about living in Delaware. Jesus Christ, the mind boggles.
Oh yeah.
It's like winning the number one purist libertarian, like ideological Olympics.
Congratulations. You're the richest person in Delaware, and not named DuPont or Del Don.
Yeah.
It's like, I made $75,000 last year. Look at me. So the other thing, we'll keep it on the sports a little bit. But you're also a Cleveland Browns fan.
Yeah, I grew up in Northeast Ohio.
Oh, okay. So that
nobody chooses that shit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was the real why I was wondering, like, why would he ever put himself?
That was probably like part of the allure of libertarianism, as well as like it's the political equivalent of being the Cleveland Browns. Like, you always have a squad like composed of just like the absolute most dog shit people that go out and just get mauled every time they enter any sort of forum of ideas. And well,
yeah, here we like are. Every celebritarian's basically Johnny Manziel, turns out to be.
Yeah, dude.
I
heard Austin Peterson is now the backup for the Montreal Alouettes. By the way, have you prank called his radio show? I know a couple people have, and this behavior I definitely want to encourage. He's on the radio in Missouri now, and if you go to his Twitter page, which I've long since blocked, but had to go back because reasons a couple weeks ago, you can get to his radio shows. You can figure out what station it is. You can figure out their number, and you can figure out what time of day he's on. And oh man, you can have some pretty solid pranks of Austin Peterson on the old radio, on live radio too, where he can't really do much about it.
Yeah, is it going to be like his argument with Chris Cantwell that one time?
That was pretty embarrassing and pretty cringe, and I loved every moment of it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the most difficult thing to sit through, but also one of the more hilarious things.
Was it really, though? Because it was kind of like every single other YouTube debate ever, where people don't agree on what words mean and don't ever progress from there. So they just stand there and chirp at each other for a couple hours.
And talk about their pyramids.
There was one channel that was on Facebook. I don't know if they had a YouTube as well, but their whole gig was that they just produced these really shitty production value debates, and it was always one celebritarian versus another. And I know Kokesh appeared on there pretty regularly, and so did the Freedom Giraffe.
Freedom Giraffe?
Yeah, Christopher Chase Rachels, the Raven Giraffe. But those two were in pretty heavy rotation on this channel. I don't remember the name of the channel. I just remember that both the audio and the video were always fucked. It was always in some vacant hotel conference room. I remember thinking, like, after a 12-hour Facebook binge at the end of that, being like, damn, like, you know what? I might not have a lot of self-respect, but I've got enough respect for myself to not click play on this video.
Yeah, it's
especially upon seeing that it was like 3.5 goddamn hours long.
Oh, that's brutal. Yeah, yeah. It's like we libertarians, we try so hard sometimes, but it ends up just being. I think it's that
the attempt, so hard, ran so far, and in the end, it doesn't even matter.
So speaking of some of these names you just mentioned and others. This is what I was bringing up before when you thought I was talking about the WNBA, but something that used to be a big fan of talking about, and I wish it got brought back, but the hashtag please donate.
Hashtag please donate, yeah.
So you want to tell people a little bit about what that was about?
Sure. So hashtag please donate was a Facebook page. Might still be. I don't go on Facebook ever, so it might still be around. And it was basically... So this is before grifting was a term that people used and that people would accuse each other of frequently. So we were sort of in the Wild West era of making a significant portion of your income on donations from people who agree with your politics. Like, this was sort of uncharted territory, but not really uncharted territory, but it was new in the sense that you were an internet activist and like this is what you did, and like you just do bias confirmation all day long, and then you collect checks and that was how you did it. And some people were really good at it, like Austin Peterson, who like was, you know, I'm not saying that he's someone you should listen to unless you're prank calling his radio show, but he's somebody who like was good enough at the grift that he would be constantly running for office. So he had some like specific goal you had to donate to. Then there were other people who were a lot worse at it. And one of them was Kokesh. He always had like some sort of scam that he was working on at any given moment. And the worst one of all was this dude named Tony Styles, who I've run off the internet. You can't find Tony.
Yeah, anywhere. He disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah, there was a secret Facebook group called the Styles Files of people that like basically had all the docs on him, and anytime he would get a mention anywhere, like they would just be bombarded by the Styles Files. All these people who had all of his docs, and my favorite grift that he ran was claiming that the government. Here we go. The government was, he owed the IRS so much money that the government was going to shut down his podcast.
I think I remember that.
And he needed $10,000 and he got it.
Are you serious?
Oh my goodness.
Of course, that's hard to verify. Like, we don't know how much of the $10,000 he donated himself.
Getting $1.
I think
he definitely donated, and I definitely knew people who gave him money, like specifically for this. And then he hit the $10,000. People were like, "Well, in your face! I guess you were wrong." I'm like,
which, by the way, actually, the IRS is threatening Slappy and I, so we only need $4,000. So if you go to McFlugel.com,
let you off easy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not as big as Tony Styles, so they don't
they're
not interested in coming after
us. The price of a used Saturn to stay on the air. That's totally doable for the listeners of this show.
Well, Well, it's funny because when that's when I was first becoming a libertarian and figuring all this stuff out. And so I saw all these like these activists on the internet that were thinking the same way I was doing. And I just assumed that like these people all had like full-time jobs and liberty.
This is a common thing. And they also want you to think that they work full-time jobs, that they're like important businessmen, that they have like some sort of like professional qualification or something like that. And a lot of it isn't independently verifiable at all. Styles claimed that he was running like umpteen different businesses. Kokesh claimed he's a capitalist, like all these things.
But the
hashtag please donate page made a lot of people mad.
I remember it. And I remember just laughing the whole way through because
it would always be like every day there were just new scams coming out. And that's the other thing is that there's a Pied Piper effect to this kind of behavior where people see that it works. And then the next person tries it and the next person isn't as good at it. And they get caught even a little more easily. And most of the shit that people were claiming was disprovable with one Google search. Right. Like, we're not talking, like, these weren't really well thought out things or anything like that. And
so do you think the grifting is where, how do you think it compares today is to back then among libertarians?
So it's gotten to the, among libertarians, I don't think it's as bad. But it's possible I'm just not exposed to that behavior as much anymore. Because one, I'm not on Facebook. Two, I've actively tried to reduce the amount of libertarians because there's only so many times like I could see a taxation as theft meme before I like got to start hitting certain buttons where I don't see your shit anymore ever again. Like the second time you recommend that I read Michael Malice's book, you're fucking gone. I read the sample on Amazon. Literally the first sentence of the book was taxation is theft. And I was like, gone. Goodbye. No, you're done. You're done. That's pretty much it. So I don't think it's really as bad. I think 2014, 2015 was kind of the peak year for the libertarian donation grift.
Right.
And I think people have generally gotten a little bit smarter about it. And I think they've also been burned. So one of the big people that was featured on hashtag please donate all the time because he was constantly begging for money was Chris Cantwell. And I think a lot of the people that were good for grifting were Cantwell donors that either would have or did donate to Cantwell, and that all went sour. He's an admitted FBI informant, and they kind of see that they got hosed and now are a little more careful themselves and maybe telling other people to be careful. Who knows?
Right. And plus, I think a lot of people, instead of just the normal grifting, they discovered altcoins. And so,
yeah, that's the other thing. Like, it provides a lot of advantages. You can stay more anonymous. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I wanted to hashtag please ICO isn't as alluring for people to look at. There's not like personalized drama as there was with hashtag please donate. And you could do it umpteen times too. That's the other thing is, you know, always pumping out fresh altcoins. You could put in your Paragon or whatever. I don't know if you remember that one. That was my favorite altcoin scam.
Paragon?
Paragon was a weed centered one. And there were already like 8 different weed altcoins. So like the need for one more was not, but all of their money went to banner ads. So if you were to go to coinmarketcap.com or I don't know, whatever, CoinTalk, like any of these websites, there you'd usually, back in their heyday, you would see an ad for Paragon. And they had a logo that looked like a embossed foil sticker of a weed leaf. And I went on YouTube and I saw an interview with I don't know if they call it a CEO, I don't know if they call it a lead developer, but whoever the head person was, and they were clearly, one, baked out of their minds, and two, they said, we're going to have weed, man, but here's what we're going to have it with. We're going to have it with blockchain. And I fell out of my chair.
So it's like the Benicoin for pot.
But it's down to, I think, like, 0.002 of a cent or something now. I think the total market cap on Paragon like could be purchased with a GeoPrism.
That's great. I love it's funny when you get all these stuff like, oh, it's cryptocurrency that helps support, make it easy for healthcare records to be used. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
they also have this weird like half-life too, where there's like the initial pump period where you like have all these banner ads on CoinMarketCap and you have like active trading. And then after a while, after everybody's got beaten down enough, it just like all activity kind of stops. There's no development. There's no like updates from the project or anything about it, but it still technically exists. Like the chain still operates. If you want to like send the coins to and fro, you can do that. But
That's normally
it's effectively dead.
Yeah. Not long after the required hard fork.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Zcash or whatever, whatever one just did that. Okay. So another thing that you like to talk about, and I'm pretty interested in, because some of the other, like I know I listen to Bob Murphy's show a lot, and he's always interested in bringing on a lot of the
big fans of each other.
Bob, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I sang karaoke with him before. So,
did you go on his cruise? And if so, how sad were the boomers on Bob's cruise? These are,
I have not been on the cruise. Did you go to the, what was it called? Was it the Free Your Mind conference? Have you ever been to that?
Oh yeah. Wait, Bob wasn't at Free Your Mind. Bob has self-respect.
He was there. He went to the one really to go to karaoke afterwards.
I think I went one of the years when Bob wasn't there. I went the year Travis Walton was there.
I don't know.
You know what? I might be thinking, no, I'm thinking of a UFO conference. I'm not thinking of.
Okay. Well, that's basically what Free Your Mind was. I went there, just a bunch of like the Philly libertarians were going, so I'll go there.
And, no, it's Project Free Thought, but IRL. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. But I went there and I was like, went into the middle of some talk. And I sit down, I start listening to it, and this Russian guy is talking about how there's...
You like Trump.
No, it wasn't quite. It was before Trump, but he was talking about how there are aliens all around us, but in another dimension. So there was no way for us to sense them at all. But he was so shocked that none of us in the audience were like knew what he was talking about. And then there are also stuff about, you know, the Fourth Reich in Antarctica buried in the ground somewhere. And I came into this thinking like, oh, this is like the comedy hour or something. This is pretty good. And then I slowly started realizing, no, this guy's dead serious. And it was the greatest talk I've ever been to because it was so outrageous. And he was so into it that I've never like paid more attention to something in my life than that.
I did an A Course in Miracles conference. A Course in Miracles is this sequel to the Bible that this psychologist wrote in like the late 60s. And the followers are all old hippies. And I got this gig doing comedy. And it was very like Free Your Mind-esque in the sense that it was like at a hotel conference room. Like there were, you know, maybe 100 or so people at the entire conference. Like it wasn't super well attended, but there were enough people to like make it worth the trip to New York. And they were, you know, paying me three figures, which is like six figures in non-comedy money, to go perform at this thing. And I'm listed as like the headliner on my thing. They want me to do 25 minutes, which is fine. And the two people opening for me were this woman named, I think her name was Myron Davis. And she was this like woman preacher, I guess, like she was some sort of clergy folk. And she did this like lengthy talk about forgiveness. Then there was this author who I assumed was some sort of humor author. No. He had written a book about how his son overdosed on heroin and how the lessons of A Course in Miracles helped him to forgive his son for overdosing on heroin. So he gives us a good like 30, 45 minute long talk about his son. Everybody's crying. He's crying. He gets off. The MC comes up. She's like, okay, now are you folks ready to laugh?
Oh, no.
And I did 25 minutes of comedy for these oldsters. And that was really fun.
So
and I killed with a Ken Wapnick impression because I did my research like on the Chinatown bus on the way up. And, one of the main authors of A Course in Miracles was this guy named Ken Wapnick, and I was like, oh, he's got a distinct voice that's not that hard to imitate. So
nice. Can you give us a little bit of it, if you remember?
Give me a little bit of Wapnick. Well, the thing that Jesus says is that the problem is in our minds. It's not out here. It's in here. A little bit like that.
For all the Ken Wapnick fans or
Wapnick.
Oh, Wap.
And then Ken Wapnick dropped dead like 2 weeks after the conference too.
Must have been a sign. So speaking of the comedy, speaking of the comedy, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because it seems that, like, for things that I'm not keyed into, when people complain about the, like, leftist infiltration with stuff, because I don't experience that much leftism in my life. So when I hear people flipping out about it, I'm like,
it's only when they get on the internet.
Yeah. But I think I was watching Comedy Central or something, and I fell asleep and I woke up to some stand up thing, and I started watching it, and it was absolutely true that he was not going for laughs. He was going for applause.
It's secular church. Yeah.
And it was like unbelievable. And sometimes when he would throw in a joke and it would actually be funny, but then he would just try to make a plot.
Now, say he, but how are you certain of this person's gender identity?
I apologize. It is how do you refer to someone when you don't know what their preferred pronoun
singular
is?
Singular they.
Oh, it's they?
Yeah, singular they. But I
oh, get wait, you. Singular get they? Is, do you have to say singular they? That's the term? Because I don't want to, in case they have multiple personalities, I don't want
to. I would say this very much depends where you go, though. Like, if you know what comedy clubs to go to, and a lot of times who's booking the show, and you have like a rough familiarity with who the comedians are, it's really easy to avoid people like this.
Okay.
But sometime around 2015 was the year that, like, all in comedy, a lot of this shit kicked into overdrive, with everything having to be super diverse. You need to have at least 3 non-binary comics at every show. It doesn't matter how funny they are, because their stories need to be heard, and you need to be listening to the voices of marginalized people. And here's an 8 paragraph Facebook post, and everything just became very, very exhausting. And yeah, it was around then. And yeah. It was not too long after that I sort of peaced out for anybody who wasn't booking me for like something specific.
Right. So do you think it's, what's going to happen with it? Is it just going to like crumble on itself because it's not funny? It's not comedy. So when people are kind of like upset and worried about it, is it just kind of like, just let them run out of breath and
it'll become like gay bars. So when I was a lad, homosexuality was still illegal. And let me tell you, it was fucking awesome. It was the best, most subversive, most like forbidden feeling thing you could do, is like sneaking off behind some dumpster, getting a dude's dick in your mouth, and just going to town, because it was something that everybody in society was telling you was awful and was terrible and that you shouldn't do. And the gay bars were like the main way that you would go and you'd meet people, because there was no internet yet. People didn't have Grindr. Nobody was like having their phone attached to their hand, shit like that. So you had to go to these gay bars and do shit like that. And it's kind of similar with comedy now. If you wanted to make a living making people laugh, it used to be you had to pass through the gatekeepers at the comedy clubs, and you had to, you know, be able to kill, and you had to do a tight 25, and you had to not work blue, and you had to do this, that, and the third. Now there's a whole bunch of ways that you don't need to involve these people, and you can go do it yourselves. And they'll still be around. I mean, there's still going to be comedy clubs, just like there's still gay bars, but they're not going to have anywhere near the influence that they used to have.
No,
I understand that I look like Hannah Gadsby, and I'm saying this, but
No, I mean, it makes sense. That's kind of my my normal just
the other normal thing, reaction. The other thing is, it's going to become whack over time, like paying to go hear someone talk. we're sort of getting to the point where it's like this kind of like weird one-off-y kind of thing. But in the 80s, every town had a stand-up club. Like, even the shittiest rinky-dink town in Ohio, such as where I come from, had a comedy club, and Carrot Top would come to town, and, you know, the legendary Wid would come to town, and all these, you know, you'd see all the people that you liked from The Tonight Show and whatever, and people from the radio and this, that, and the third. And those places are now shuttered. There's one comedy club like in the main city of Cleveland, and Yeah.
So you're.
But I don't know a ton of people who like. The other thing that's a blessing is that I'm blessed living in Delaware to deal with normies all the time. So I don't interact with a lot of comics. It's mostly non-comedians that I talk to, and nobody ever goes to comedy shows. Like it's not like going to movies where it's a really normal like form of entertainment that you do. It's almost like going to see Shakespeare or some shit like that. Like, yeah, there's people that are into it, but it's not like a super common thing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Cause if you want to laugh, there's so many options now.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, now we have the internet and things on demand and everything. You want to watch a comedy show, you can just, you know.
Yeah, you can watch a dead comic, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. So let me.
The other thing is, it's these people have cucked themselves into a corner. So there are now apps where there's comedians in India who will work for $3 an hour. So you've made all these bones about how you don't have enough people of color at your comedy show. Well, guess what, motherfucker? I went on the Interface app, and now I've got four comedians from India, and they're all going to do a tight 25, and I'm gonna pay them $1.75 each. How the fuck do you feel about that?
Wait, so how does this work? Do you just, like, it's just, like, a just for you, or, like, you put them in a hall with a big TV, and they do a comedy?
Yeah, you could do it either way.
Wow, that's awesome. So when you do your stand up, you make sure to shoehorn your libertarian messages in there constantly.
Absolutely. It's just like Michael Malice's book. The first sentence is taxation is theft, and the last chapter is about how Ancapistan would work.
Nice. And yep. And that's just like,
and everybody goes and runs, and they say everybody needs to see this really important work of comedy because I've just confirmed all their biases.
So smart, so intelligent.
Yeah, he's really got his finger on the pulse, that Miller. Jesus Christ.
That's great.
Everyone needs to get the fuck over themselves.
Duh, I agree. I mean, that's I have a libertarian podcast and a blog, and so I like talking about it, but I'm not out there trying to change the world anymore. I do it because I have fun with it. Every show Slappy and I do this thing at the end because normally libertarians and libertarian podcasts, we end up getting like whiny and complaining and talking about how awful the government in the world is. So we like to do what we call free market success story at the end, just to have something nice, something that the market provides that makes your life better that you might not notice it. And I'm going to do something a little bit different, unless you have one that you want to jump in with. I'm putting you on the spot.
I already mentioned that League Pass is $17.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That is a true free market success story that is priced accordingly. But,
and the other thing is, if you're on Twitter, a lot of the games are broadcast on Twitter for free. So you don't even have to give them fucking $17. You could just sit there.
There is no excuse then. But this is good because it's also sports related. I happened to catch this on Twitter this morning that apparently someone recorded on their phone in an airplane, Cam Newton.
Yes, I saw this.
Okay. Do you want to tell it? Say what happened?
$1,500 that he offered?
Yeah, to get a seat from a guy with more leg room.
Yeah, Cam Newton, who's what, 6'6", 6'7", somewhere around there. Like, mm-hmm. Just an enormous brute of a man. Wanted the seat with extra leg room. He went and he offered some random stranger $1,500 to move his seat on the plane. And the guy said no to Cam Newton.
So what does that say to us? That $1,500 was not the market clearing price for that seat. So,
right.
You know, Cam, it's funny. He kind of had a shocked look on his face. But, hey, if you ponied up a little bit more dough, then maybe it would have gotten you there.
I would imagine he's not accustomed to hearing no that much at this point in his career. Like,
yeah, usually, that too.
Like, if he were to go to, like, rookies on his team and offer him $1,500, they'd take it. If he were to, you know, talk to fans, I'm positive most of the people he talks to are fans at any given moment. And, so I think that might have been the first no Cam Newton heard in quite a while. And I worked at a hotel for a year, and this was super instructive in terms of human behavior. Just in terms of people being told no, because people would always want shit that they couldn't get. You'd be amazed how many times like some, Democratic candidate looking white woman would be like, do you happen to have any free upgrades available? And if you're checking into a hotel, no, the hotel never fucking has free upgrades available. It's just not something that's done. But I don't know if it was the bottom line or what publication told people that if you just go and you ask the hotel if they have free upgrades available, usually they'll give you one. And that's not what happens. What happens is you ask them, they say, oh yeah, definitely, we'll upgrade your room. And then they give you the room they were going to give you in the first place. That's usually what happens. And yeah, but oftentimes the hotel would be sold out. So people would have to like get whatever room. And they'd be like, well, you gave me a room with two twin beds instead of one king. Can you give me a room with one king? No, because every room in the hotel is sold out. Like we told you earlier, it's sold out. And oh man, the fits they would throw.
Oh, I bet that's I am so
people when they're traveling are just awful.
I am so glad that I don't have a customer service or I don't interface with customers in my job.
I actually kind of wish I did more. But the interesting thing is, so during my day job now, I talk to a lot of like small business owners and things like that. And you know what? Sometimes I'll go to like their web pages, their like Twitter pages, whatever, just because I'm curious what these people look like. And you know what the one common denominator is in every successful small business I've ever seen? None of them are getting on the internet and being like, I crushed it today.
Yeah.
Expand your income. Brr, brr, brr.
Amazing how that works.
Yeah.
So it's not just a libertarian thing.
A lot of them don't have much of a web presence at all.
Hmm.
To think that you could have a successful web presence and not a successful business and not tweet all day, the mind must boggle.
I don't understand it. So that means I'm just going to throw more,
just keep
throw more flames.
Keep scrolling. Everything will be fine.
Yeah. So, thanks for coming on the show, man. Do you have, any places that if you want to be found where people can find you?
Bless Your Grind on Twitter. The Lulberts is the, Quapam, is the name of the podcast with me and Jim Jesus, and about a half dozen other people, like in host rotation. What else do I have? Monumental Waste of Time is the name of my podcast about Joe Matarese. So there was a 2-year-long podcast run by this trans woman friend of mine, Karen from Philly, and she covered exclusively this one failing like 55-year-old comedian from New Jersey who still thought he was going to make it and was still getting out there, still grinding every single night. And I thought he was terrible and said as much on the show pretty much every week, but she was basically an obsessed fan. And yeah, so I highly recommend mainlining all 35 episodes of the Monumental Waste of Time podcast directly into your veins. I might have another podcast coming up soon, but
okay. We'll be on the lookout for that. So yeah, that'll be in the show notes page, mcflugel.com/150. So congratulations. You're on episode 150 here.
All right. Excellent.
So, all right. We'll get Slappy to, close it out when we're done here. So
you can be heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'll just kill it. Right. All right. And we're back, Slappy and Rollo. So that was Steve Miller. We will have the links to his Twitter account, as well as the podcast he mentioned, in the show notes page, mcflugel.com/150. Slappy, do you have anything?
Yeah, I know that. What was the, when you did the Rollo and Greg show, now you got the Rollo and Steve show.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get a pattern here, maybe a theme that I'm kind of getting pushed out. So hopefully I'm here next week.
You're kind of getting pushed out? Or all right.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
See ya.
Peace.